Well, a good afternoon to everybody. Certainly is a beautiful Sabbath day today. Seeing some sunshine, really enjoyed that. I think all of us, most of us here, at least, when we begin our week, we begin planning our week, we kind of plan it around the Sabbath day. You know, that is the highlight of our week for most of us. It's a day that we really look forward to. When we do have the opportunity to come before God, and we look forward to that time, and we know that it's coming, it's a day when we can refrain from resting and have a little extra time to rest and relax, and we look forward to it. And I think when we get to the Sabbath day then, we begin to plan the Sabbath day, and the highlight, of course, of the Sabbath day is the Sabbath service, what we're here today observing. Coming before God and appearing before Him on His holy Sabbath day for the Sabbath service. And that's what I want to talk today about, is the purpose of the Sabbath service. Why did God give us a Sabbath service? Tell us to attend. And I want to go through, I have 4 points that I think will help us to understand why we have the Sabbath service. Its purpose for us, and there are sure a lot more points than what I have here. But these are 4 that I'd like to go through today. The first one is, of course, to worship and obey God. To come before God into His presence and worship Him. Because it is a time that He tells us or we are to come before Him. And to obey Him, we must do that. And it is a time when we can worship Him. When we come here and sing praises, just as we have done now, to God. And sing praises to Him and worship Him as our God and Creator. I want us to go over to the book of Leviticus. Because here we will see where He does tell us that we are to appear before Him. In Leviticus 23, now this is where, of course, He lists all the holy days, but as He starts out in verse 1, He's talking the first, I guess it's the first 3 verses here, what we'll read, because He is talking here about the weekly Sabbath, not about the annual holy days. But He includes them because He used the word feast of the Lord. But verse 1 of Leviticus 23, it says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast." And then verse 3, He lists the weekly Sabbath. 6 days shall work be done, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So it is the Sabbath of God. It is His day that He gives us. And He says it is a holy convocation. Or as the NIV translates it, a sacred assembly. A time when we are to come before God. Now, when He first instituted the Sabbath, He didn't really say anything about it being a holy convocation at that time, and He doesn't mention this until over in Leviticus 23. Now, I think it probably was, and when God rested the first Sabbath, He probably taught Adam and Eve, probably had a Sabbath service there of teaching and instructing them in His way and what they should be doing. Now, I don't know that. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but when He gets over here, He does say it is a holy convocation. Now, convocation can mean called out. It means an assembly or a public meeting. That is what a convocation is. I think we realize it's an assembly where we assemble here in the presence of God and that we are to come here. So it is something that He requires of us to do, to appear before Him. I remember several years back, a woman that decided, you know, she could take a Sabbath off ever so often. She would, about every couple of months, she'd say, "Well, I'm just going to take this Sabbath off." And she would not attend. And then it finally got where about every month, you know. and went on about every other week. And finally, she's got to the point now where she don't even have to keep the Sabbath at all, I guess, because she doesn't keep it. And we were talking about some of this. And I was telling her something about what the Bible said. And she, now, you know, I don't know anything about the Bible. And she had been a part of the church for quite a while. And I thought she probably knew something about the Bible, that we were supposed to attend a Sabbath service. And but there are, of course, and I'm not talking about sickness, people that, you know, there's legitimate reasons, of course, why we would not attend the Sabbath service. Sickness, distance. Many people live so far away that they just are not able to. And I know today, I guess we've got Mrs. Lovern on the phone back there. She's able to listen to us and hear the Sabbath service, to be here in a way. And so it's really good that we can have things like that for people who are unable to be here. And so I'm not talking about that. But if, you know, if we're able, God expects us to come before Him, to appear before Him on this day. Now, you know, would we take one of the other commandments? Would we say, well, I believe in the commandment, thou shalt not kill. But, you know, I know this man I don't care too much about. And I think next Tuesday I'm going to take a day off. And I might just bump him off, you know. Because would we say that? It sounds ridiculous, don't it? It would use it for any of the other commandments. Or an excuse for not obeying God. And then we would go back Wednesday and start keeping that commandment. We would not kill from there on. No, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for us to do that. God wants us to come here. He designed it for a purpose, to teach us that we can come and worship Him. Let's just notice, quick scripture here, Paul in Acts 17, where he attended Sabbath services. Now, this a lot, Paul is one, of course, that a lot of people think did away with the laws of God and that we don't have to any longer keep them. But in Acts 17, and we'll just read verses 1 and 2. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis, I guess is how you say it, and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 days, 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scripture. So we see here that he went in here 3 Sabbath days on the Sabbath and taught them. Of course, Paul was teaching them and instructing them in God's ways. But it says, as his manner was. It wasn't just something he was doing at this particular time, but that was his manner, his way of conducting his life, of going to the Sabbath services when he had the opportunity. And so it's something that we should do as well, to follow his example. And then I want us to go over in the book of Psalms, Psalm 100, because here is a psalm, and we'll read this. It's only 5 verses long, so we'll read this entire psalm because I think it fits well in here, because it does show us that we are to appear before God, but it also, you know, we know we are. But this psalm kind of tells us how to do it. And we'll read it. Verse 1 of Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before His presence with singing. And that is what we do. We begin our Sabbath services by singing. We always have 3 songs. And then go into the sermonette or the speaking part of the Sabbath service. But we come before His presence with singing. And it wouldn't just have to be once we get here. If we feel like singing on the way to church, that would be fine. You know, if we have a song that, I don't know if some of you like me, some days I'll go through and there'll just be this one particular song that just keeps coming through my mind. And I'll sing it when nobody's around. And because if I sung it to somebody around, it'd probably be singing it with nobody around a little later. Because, but these songs will sometimes just go in your mind and they sing. Songs that we sing here on the Sabbath. But we can come before His presence with singing. He says, know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. So the Sabbath as well points to God as our Creator, the God who created all things that exist, but also created mankind. We are reminded of this every time we come and appear before God on His Sabbath day. We should be reminded of that, that it is God that has made us. He continues, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And then verse 4, he says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You know, we should always, on our way to church services, think of the blessings that God has blessed us with this past week. You know, that we, as we pull into the parking lot, or just on our way when we leave home, we should begin to think what a privilege we have to come and appear before God. The fact that He has called us at this time and given us an opportunity to be a part of the first fruits. So we should always enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, always praising God for His love and mercy, His greatness. Again, he says, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And then verse 5, he continues, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. You know, the truths that we hear at every Sabbath service, we could hear them 100 years from now, and they would still be the same truths. They endure for all times. And so we need to remember, as we come before God, enter His gates with praise. Always give thanks to God, and think in our mind of the blessings that God has given us. And we'll come into the Sabbath service in a much better attitude, I'm sure, if we think of these blessings. The second point is to learn God's way and His will for us. To learn what His will is. To learn God's way. To be taught and instructed in His way. We should come to the Sabbath service every week for the purpose of learning. He tells us, seek and you shall find. If we come here seeking something, God is going to give us something that will help us to grow. I heard a man giving a sermon, and he had a sermon once, and he was showing how we should take the sermons that we're given. We should apply them. But if we come before Him and we just take one thing, only one thing that we learn each Sabbath day, and we begin to really apply that. Now, we try to use everything we hear, sure. But if we really are diligent in that one thing, over a period of a year, you know, we would appear before God, if you don't count the holy days even, about 52 times. So we would have things in our lives that we're working on, that we're really trying to learn, to grow in that grace and knowledge of God's way of life, and applying that. And that is one way. If we really begin to apply the things we hear, they stick in our mind. God teaches us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Because here he shows us that there's, you know, sometimes we can read the Bible and we can, there are certain things we can understand. But sometimes we need help. Ephesians 4, and let's start reading here in verse 11. And it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. He gave us pastors to help us on that road to perfection, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. You know, we have pastors that teach us and instruct us in God's way, helping us to become that perfect person. We know it's all, we're never going to be perfect in this life, but we are always continually striving to reach that perfection, to work at it and try to achieve it. And he gave us ministers to help us, to teach us and instruct us in his way. He says, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So it helps us to not be deceived. If we come all the time, appear before God and are constantly be taught by His ministry and the way of life that He wants us to go, it will help us. John, over in the book of John, when Jesus was talking to Peter there, he asked him, you know, we won't go there, but it's found over in John 21. But that's where he was asking, do you love me? And he told him three times, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. That was the job that the ministers had. We as a God's congregation are like sheep. And he places over us a shepherd. Now, he's the great shepherd. Jesus Christ is. But he places over us, as we just read here, these pastors and people to help us toward that perfection in our life, to help us on our road to doing His will. And he told Peter three times to feed my sheep, and that must have evidently stuck in Peter's mind, because let's go over now and see what Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's read verses 1 through 3, 1 Peter chapter 5. In verses 1 through 3 we'll read. He says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. So he gave us ministers to feed us. But if we're not here, you know, if you feed your sheep and they don't come up to take that food, it's not going to benefit them. We have to come before God to take the food, that spiritual food that He gives us, to help us to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge and understanding of His way of life. And sometimes we have to have help. Let's go to another example. We'll just go through it pretty quickly. But that is the example over in Acts 17. Oh, no, wait. Sorry about that. Acts chapter 8. And verse 26, this, of course, is the Ethiopian eunuch. And we'll read, let's see, what are we going to read here? If I can. Verses 28 through 31. Well, this is where he was returning, this Ethiopian eunuch. He had been up to Jerusalem to worship, but was, verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what you read? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. We can read the rest of this, and we see that Philip did help him. He went through this, what he was reading there in Isaiah, and explained it to him. So sometimes, like I say, we might read the Bible, and we can understand certain things, but certain things we need help with. We need a minister to explain, to really help us to get a deeper understanding of what God is saying to us. And he uses the ministry in that way. But like I say, we have to be there. We have to be before God, the ones who are feeding the shepherd, to hear what they have to say for us. So we need to attend. We need to realize it is a time when we come before God to be fed His word. The third point that I have is for the fellowship. I think we all, like I say, really look forward to the time when we do come to the church service, because when we step in here, it's always a joy. And you can sit back and listen and at the noise of people talking. And they really enjoy fellowshipping with one another, because, you know, we're so scattered out that it's hard to sometimes. Now, maybe some that live right here in the area, here in Madison, live closer and maybe can see each other through the week. But many of us are so scattered out that we don't have any fellowship with the brethren through the week. Very little. And so it's really good to come before God on His Sabbath and to fellowship with the brethren, to learn some of the things they may have need of. You know, there could be sickness in their lives, and we wouldn't know anything about it unless we come to church services. And maybe they tell us, look, I need help in this. I need whatever it might be, sickness or a job or whatever. And that we can get to know the needs of the brethren as we fellowship and get to know them better. We need to have that fellowship with them. We need to know their needs because He does tell us that we are to bear one another's burdens. And we do that by having this fellowship with God, with their brethren here on the Sabbath day. And we get to know them. I think I've mentioned before when we were in Italy, there was a young lady there who, she lived in Sicily, I believe it was. And she didn't have the opportunity to assemble with God's people except the Feast of Tabernacles. She was able to come there. And you could just see she was so full of joy and happiness in her life that it was just, you know, it really would inspire you to want to be more like her. But you could tell she enjoyed that. And we here have an opportunity to come every week, almost every week, you know, if we're not sick or there's something wrong, that we can come. And other people don't have that opportunity. But now we do have, of course, the internet and DVDs and videos and different things that help people who are unable to be here to join right in. Even over the internet, they can set that right there during a Sabbath service while it's going on. And so that is really wonderful for these people who are unable to attend. But those of us that can attend, we should be very thankful and happy that we are able to come here. Because, you know, I've sat at home and listened to a DVD or whatever it be. And it's not the same as being here with God's people and being right here among them. But it is better than not having anything by a long shot. But 1 Corinthians, again, we won't go there, 3 and 9 tells us that we are laborers together. We are workers here to do a work that God has called us to help with. Laborers together with God, he says. And so, we have to come here to be taught and instructed and have that fellowship and to become profitable servants in God's church. You know, he tells us that iron sharpens iron. You know, that is where a lot of times people can encourage somebody. You know, if it's something you don't understand, you might discuss it with somebody and they'll have a point of view that you hadn't thought about and help you to come to a better understanding. Iron does sharpen iron. If we talk about God's way and His word on the Sabbath day while we're here for the Sabbath service. And another thing, this we won't go there, but in Acts 1 and 1, this is talking about, of course, the Feast of Pentecost, when they were all there for the Feast of Pentecost. But it says they were there, what? With one accord. And that is how we should come to attend the Sabbath services. With one accord, to please our God. That should be what we're here for, to learn and to please God. And then, number 4, last point that I have, it's a time when we can come out of the world. Now, you know, God tells us that we are to come out of the world. But we have to live in this world all the time. But here on the Sabbath day, during the Sabbath service, it's a small part of time where we can come in with our brethren. When we can assemble here in God's presence. You know, in Psalm 122, verse 1, the psalmist there said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I think all of us feel that way, don't we? When we come into God's house here with other people, we're coming out of the world. We're coming into God's presence here, appearing before Him. You know, this is just a building all through the week. But when we come in here, it's a place that God has placed His name. It's a holy assembly here that God says we are here. And it's a time when we can come into the presence of God and be there with our brethren. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, because here's where he tells us that we are to come out of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verses 17 and 18, he says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You know, as we come to the Sabbath service, we meet probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people when we're driving up the highway. And God has blessed us with the knowledge and understanding of His way of life that many people don't have. So we should be very thankful for that. And that when we come in here, we're coming out of that world for a short period of time. We're right here with God's people. And it gives us that opportunity to come here with people that believe and think as we do. Let's notice Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, and we read verses 1 through 4. And this is a psalm that we sing. I think we have a song in our songbook that has this psalm in it. But verse 1 of Psalm 42 says, "As the hart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." He went there for the holy day. That is what we do. We come out of this world for a short while as we come here and appear before God and appear before Him to worship and praise Him. Now, I told you the meaning of convocation, but one of the meanings, too, of convocation is a rehearsal. If you look it up, it also means, you know, a public meeting, an assembly, but it also means a rehearsal. So we are, in a way, here rehearsing. We are to be the bride of Christ. And you know, when there's a marriage, there's always the rehearsal, that they go and rehearse how they're going to do it. We, in a way, are here rehearsing what we will do when we are the bride of Christ. We are rehearsing when we come before God on His Sabbath day. We're rehearsing what we need to do to be the bride of Christ. We're rehearsing, and if we continue this, taking in this knowledge that God gives us, rehearsing every week before God, there will come a time when we will be born into His family. When, as He tells us, Revelation 5:10, that He has made us unto our God kings and priests, that He has made us kings and priests, we will become the teachers, the priests of God in the what we call the world tomorrow, after Christ returns. And then we're going to be able to help fulfill the prophecy that is found over in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2, let's go there. We'll conclude with Isaiah chapter 2. I'll read these. I've got two verses I want to read there. But we need to realize this is speaking of us. We will be the ones, if we stay faithful and loyal to God's ways, we come before Him on His holy convocation and learn His ways, we will be helping carry this out. Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. It says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come you, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.